and welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merge. How you doing, Merge?
I'm doing good. It was a fun draft night, and it continues to be a lot of fun watching all these highlights, but I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah, and then we've got our buddy Nas on here. Hopefully we'll have Nas on longer than the last podcast.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely be here for the full time. I'm doing great. How's everybody?
Good. We're all pretty happy about since Thursday night. So we'll get to Alan here in a little bit. Alan will be popping in. Running a tad late, but yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. The NBA draft, the 2023 NBA draft, happened on Thursday. Today is Saturday, and just in that time, the Lakers drafted at 17 Jalen Hood-Schifino. They had traded up from 47 and paid a hefty cash price for to get up from 47 to 40 for Maxwell Lewis from Pepperdine, and then after that, they got a couple guys that we actually really liked. Colin Castleton from Florida, a little bit older, but as a rotational guy, I don't know if it really matters, especially as a UDFA. We'll get to him in a little while. Alex Fudge, also from Florida, kind of like an athlete, toolsy, lotto.
Moldable clay, yeah.
Lotto type pick, you know, of not of like NBA lottery, but like lotto ticket type thing. Then they got, what was his first name? Hodge from Missouri.
Isn't it like Mbai or, let me find it.
I've only been referring to him as Hodge. So I'm just going to go with Hodge for now until Merge looks it up.
Des Moines Hodge.
Thank you. Hodge is kind of like a two-way guard, does the dirty work on defense. Nas went and watched him for a little bit and said that they reminded him of Jody Meeks. So we'll get to that also.
High praise coming from a Jody Meeks stand over here. I said high praise coming from a Jody Meeks stand over here.
Yeah. Same here. I love Jody Meeks.
And then today the Lakers also signed to another Exhibit 10 deal, just like
Fudge.
They did with Fudge was TCU guard. Oh, and of course my thing went away because now Twitter wants to act up on me. Damian Bowe, a 6'4" guard who averaged 12.5 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 5.8 assists last season. I haven't dove too much into him yet. But let's kind of go ahead. We're just going to talk draft today. We'll get into free agency rumors and stuff probably sometime this week. But kind of want to just focus on these, especially like four guys of the two draft picks, and then five guys with Fudge in there as well, the two ways and the Exhibit 10 and Fudge. So Nas, I want to let you talk first, because when we recorded, you didn't even really have JHS, Jalen Hood-Schifino, on like a list, because you kind of thought he was going to be gone. I thought he might have been gone. I thought Atlanta was going to be the place where he went. And I know that you're excited about him, so let's go ahead and hear your thoughts on him.
Well, like we were talking, I don't know if we were recording this when we were talking, but I said that I liked him, but I just didn't think that he was going to be there for us, because I thought that he was going to be drafted beforehand, right? But I liked him. And then I found out that we got him, and I was like, wow, okay, that's nice. But Fino's a lot like Brogdon, but without the injury concerns, and he got drafted a lot younger, too, because Brogdon was drafted, like, what, 20? He was 24 years old when he got drafted, or something like that?
I think he was 23 and then turned 24, kind of like how Colin Castleton. Part of the reason why Castleton was, you know, undrafted, that was also because his agent was telling guys or teams to back off.
Right.
But
he has AR agent too. So yeah,
if Brogdon was younger when he was drafted, this is probably what you're looking at.
Right. And it's the exact same thing. If you take a look at Brogdon's scouting report before he got drafted, like you could switch the names and it would sound exactly like Fino's. It's like shocking, the similarities. So like Fino's not a great athlete, he's a good athlete, you know, because he had pretty much everybody in the NBA is a good athlete, right? But
except it's Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
It works to his advantage somehow.
Yeah. Right. But like and even then he's like what 99th percentile of like all human beings, like in terms of athleticism, right? So like, but anyway, like, you know, so he's a good athlete, like he's not a run and dunk athlete though, like by any means. He's, you know, he's very skilled. Like people like Sam and Coach Finn, they're very high on his on his prospects of being able to shoot well from the 3-point line, because he can shoot mid range and long twos very well right now. Like, you know, from the elbow all the way up to the 3-point line. Like he's a pretty good shooter regarding that, and he's also like very good at like pick and roll, and he's also a really good defender right now. So there's a lot of things to like. He's just, like, it's just that like a lot of people don't like him if people don't like him, it's because he doesn't pop off the screen like most athletes do, right? Like Max Lewis, like who we'll get into later, like he popped off the screen. He's like, all right, like Cam Whitmore, he popped off the screen. Like Hushabino, you just gotta have to like see like, okay, well he's very skilled and he understands the game. And so if he reaches his peak, he could be better than Brogdon, but he'll be around that tier, right? Mm-hmm. like a borderline to potential all-star consistently, and he'll be a guy who could guard one to three, because he like what listed at anywhere between 6'5", 6'6" with shoes, and he has a 6'10" wingspan, and he's pretty bulky himself. So like he'll be able to guard threes just in case they have to. And like we already know that Ham likes to get into these three guard lineups sometimes four guard lineups. And so he could play the small forward spot depending on the lineup that they're going up against. So I mean I'm very happy that they got the pick. I was a surprise. I mean, I was very surprised that he was available, but hey, you know, I'm happy. It's cool. It's a very good pick. Very good pick.
And we're joined by Alan now. He is eating a popsicle. I have no idea what that is.
Essentially, yeah. It's an ice lolly.
An ice lolly. Okay. Well, we'll go with that.
It is 78 degrees Fahrenheit here, and it is 11:24 p.m., so I'm eating this so my brain doesn't fry.
It's fantastic. We have this thing called air conditioning. It works great. Except I'm in the garage, so I have a fan on me.
To quote Ted Lasso, the biggest thing he learned when he was in England is that air conditioning is a privilege, not a human right.
I've never watched Ted Lasso, so I don't give a shit.
Well, you are missing out.
I doubt it. I've heard a lot of people say that. I probably wouldn't enjoy it.
All three of us here, by the way, say that.
Yeah.
Apart from you.
Literally nothing of what you just said changed my opinion on that.
Fuck you, please. anyway, right. Mars Merch, good to see you guys.
Alan, since you're joining us, I want to hear your thoughts on especially JHS. We'll get into the other guys in a little bit.
So I woke up halfway through the draft. Yeah, can't lie. Literally jumped on
Google. Woke up to Jet Howard going to the Orlando Magic.
Laughing my ass off. It was great.
That was hysterical. That was hysterical.
It was beautiful. I feel like in my sleeping haze, didn't realize that Cam Whitmore was still on the clock until about pick 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the hell's happening here? Like, can we trade up to get Cam Whitmore, please? Because like one of the things Nas said is when you watch Cam Whitmore, he does pop off the screen a lot. And I do think legitimately he looked very, very good whenever I watched him play for Villanova this year. And I didn't just I just thought it was a given that he'd be at worst a top seven pick. But we talked about it on Wednesday was when we recorded, right?
Yeah.
Days are jumbled, man. My head is a big mush of pink right now. yep. Like, you know, shit's wild here in England. We are not used to this weather. Everything's gone crazy. But
I'm drinking, yeah. So just letting you know.
It's a great time. I feel like if I drank alcohol, my heart would explode. That's how hot it is in England right now. Shit's wild. But yeah, back to basketball, if that's possible on the Under the Bus podcast. I was like, Naz, I didn't expect JHS to make it to pick 17. And on our little video chat that we had, we got really excited about Kobe Bufkin being potentially there.
Man.
And then we all three of us went, there is literally no reason for Atlanta to draft Bufkin because they have DeJounte Murray and Trae Young ahead of him. So it makes no sense, right? Lo and behold, literally 9 seconds later, pick is announced that it's Bufkin. And all three of us were like, what the fuck? Makes no sense. But sure, go off, I guess, Atlanta.
My heart still hurts.
Because I think Bufkin could have been a top 10 pick in this draft. Like, that's how good I think Kobe Bufkin is. Yeah. So much so, I think he's very close to Anthony Black. I like Black a little more, if I'm being honest. But I have Bufkin that high. Like, I think he's more of a top 10 guy than Koulibaly was, for example. Me and you touched on Koulibaly, Clay, because I think he's just so raw.
He's raw. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and he ended up going to Washington, if I remember correctly, which I actually think is a good spot for him because A, no one gives a fuck about Washington, so he can develop without any light and light because they just had the worst lottery pick in the history of lottery picks last year.
He was so bad. I never understood the Johnny Davis hype. He's fine, but like he should have been like a top like 20 to 25 guy, not number 10 or whatever he went.
Like legitimately. But yeah, digressing from that. JHS, man, I love like the more I watch his tape and I just focus on him, because now it's again a complete agreement with what Naz said. He doesn't jump off the screen. So when you actually like fixate on him, you're like, oh, he does that really well. Oh, he can defend people. He's not like an elite defender yet, but you can see the tools for him getting to being an elite defender, which is what makes me excited. I think his jump shot with Chris Gent, he'll be able to extend to the 3-point line. I think as a development prospect, he can play now, which is great. Because he sort of just slides into, I think he slides into the Dennis role off the bench. Whatever happens with the starting point guard scenario, it happens, right? I still think the most likely scenario is D'Angelo signing on a deal that around 18 to 20 million per. That's where my money would be on the most likely scenario right now. Just because I don't think D'Angelo has a market. So I think
all the teams that have money, they have point guards or future starting point guards.
And also the teams that have money are more likely to take a shot on a guy like Reeves on an offer sheet, right? Like the Spurs, the Rockets, the Kings, I think will go after Kuzma. I know that they've been talking about Draymond Green. Who was it? Windhorst, I think, mentioned Draymond Green to the Kings. But the only way I see that is if Golden State just doesn't give him a contract. And I think that's incredibly unlikely. To be honest with you. But back to JHS, the more I think about it, the more I love that pick, and I think he will be, if as long as we keep Gent and Handy around, which I think we will, I think he'll be able to get to 1/2-time all-star potentially, as long as obviously he works hard, because you can never be certain about these things with these guys until they make it to the league, right?
I'm not necessarily worried about that work ethic. Obviously, things can change, and that's kind of what you're alluding to. But he even talked about like how even at Indiana, he wasn't a partier. He was just at the gym, you know?
Yeah,
he talked about that. There's probably much to do at Indiana, but I mean, still.
But
he talked about since high school, he's been like preparing as if he is – going to be playing in the NBA. He's a vegan or vegetarian?
did he say?
Some guys can't handle the NBA though. And as much as we get really excited about draft prospects, like on paper, Anthony Brown was the most prototypical 3-and-D guy that entered the league in like 6 years, and then he was just ass. Like he couldn't play basketball.
He couldn't shoot.
He could play really. He was really good on defense. It was just that. Yeah, no, he could shoot in the G League, and I think that was one of the things that frustrated all of us so much. Well, that that was before Allen had even joined the little friend group. It was it was that he shot lights out even in the G League, and then just once he stepped
as soon as he made that jump up, it's over.
It was gone. It was disappeared, and it was always so weird.
Didn't help that he also had Byron Scott as his coach as well.
That too. But I always try and temper my expectations on rookies before I see them play in the NBA. Because you never know what's going to happen. But saying that, all things considered, I think this is an awesome pick. Mm-hmm. And again, even if people move on, like a Dennis, even D'Angelo, if he moves on, this gives us a contingency plan. And it gives us enough planning in the point guard spot for at least the next 2 or 3 years, which I find incredibly exciting.
I want to talk about that before Merge and I talk about JHS real quick though. Is you brought up like the situation with like Dennis leaving wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, like whenever he's in LA, he plays really well. It's still crazy that he got such a bad deal after he left. But like, I think he'll probably get more now. And then with D'Lo,
seen getting the non-taxpayer, because so many teams will have the non-taxpayer. And let's be real, Dennis is wildly underpaid as a minimum guy. Like wildly underpaid.
Definitely. And then with D'Lo, while he doesn't have a market now, I could also see him signing like a 3-year, $60 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then being flipped at the deadline. I had earlier had said like before playoffs when we had Raj on, that like if he got 3 and 90, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't hate paying that. But now after how bad he was during the playoffs, that definitely is not something I would pay him. But 3 and 20 per, that makes a lot of sense. And it's totally fine.
The Lakers isn't even with the way the salary cap works now.
Yeah,
it's a great, great contract in this ass CBA.
Yeah,
whenever we record, I want to highlight just how bad this collective bargaining agreement is. Because CJ McCollum did such a horrible job at this. My goodness, this is the worst CBA I've ever seen across any sport. Like footballers in England or in professional footballers don't even have a collective bargaining agreement and they have more power than this shit. What the fuck is this? Like seriously.
McCollum.
At least they negotiated to smoke weed, right?
embarrassing. But yeah, that was kind of like one thing that I wanted to put in there of that contingency. I think D'Lo will be back, and Jalen Hood-Schifino will essentially just be your backup. Merge, your thoughts on JHS?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot has already been said about the same stuff I would have said. I think the defense is the main thing that will get him some playing time in the regular season. Obviously, defense is a big focal point for Ham. If JHS is going to get any minutes, it's going to be from his defense. I do really like the mid-range game. He's a very good pull-up jump shooter off the dribble. I think that's something, if he can extend to 3-point line, that could be very, very interesting. If he could,
he showed that a little bit in the tournament too.
Yeah. I watched a couple of like his big games, and when he got hot, he was making some pull-up 3-point jumpers. Some one going to the right, going to the left. Obviously, that's not what he is. As like a guy who's making 7 threes in a game, he could maybe, but I think that's something that can be big for his offensive development. It is the ability for him to shoot and make long pull-up twos. I think it's good for his potential as a to be able to stretch out to the 3-point line. But for him to get any playing time, it's going to be that defense. He's a really good point of attack defender for his age for a freshman. He was, you know, coached by Mike Woodson, who say what we want about him as a NBA head coach in the grand scheme of things. He's still an NBA head coach. I think that will help out.
He was a horrible head coach. I think he was just average, right?
Right.
Average guys don't stick around forever. That's the issue.
Right. Yes. So I think having Mike Woodson as his coach, it certainly can help him. I know they ran a lot of NBA style offense. Very heavy on the pick and roll possessions as well. So it's gonna be interesting to see how he kind of develops as a guy who won't have the ball in his hands all the time, which he was at Indiana. And the start of that is gonna be the jump shooting. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to sort of see him develop. 216 pounds for a guy who's 6'5". It's pretty built, I would say, for a guard. And we were talking even before we started recording that maybe he can cut a little bit off, maybe add a little bit more athleticism to help out that finishing at the rim, which is probably his biggest weakness as a offensive player. Because I think, you know, we saw with Max Christie, he shot, 32% from three in college, Max. We know Max is a better shooter than that. I think Jalen's a better shooter than 30% from three, honestly. So I'm not saying he's going to jump to the 40 that Max was at. And Max, for his whole career, has always been a shooter. So that's why he probably was able to translate a lot better. I think it's a great pick. I, too, wanted Bufkin as well. So when we were on a call watching the draft, we felt kind of like a little deflated because Bufkin was just taken. And plus, the pick wasn't getting leaked like every other pick was by Shams. So it was kind of like a lot, but like after the initial night, after watching a lot more stuff, I was happy about it in the moment, but I'm a lot more happy about it now, seeing the type of talent that he is. So yes, I'm very excited to see what he can bring. Summer league, preseason, backup point guard, G League, whatever. I think he's gonna look really good in that first year.
And on a side note, did you notice that none of the Lakers picks were really leaked? Like the last,
Max Lewis. I think Max Lewis was.
Last minute, but like every other team was like year, like 5 minutes beforehand or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like 20 seconds before the Lakers picked, Max Lewis came out.
Yeah. Like it wasn't like anything crazy where it's like, all right, we're going to know how what the Lakers are gonna pick already. Like, no, it was like sort of like, all right, they're on the clock. Oh wait, they're picking Max Lewis.
Yeah. with other teams, it was like you knew a pick or two ahead of time they were even announced, you know? Like Shams was reporting guys that, you know, like not like who went like Jordan Hawkins. Like Hawkins was kind of announced, you know, like before really 13 was announced on TV to like Grady Dick to Toronto. Mm-hmm. So like with LA, I think it was a lot of, so like, okay, I'm going to get into it with like Lakers fans and everything. I know a lot of people were saying like, they're on the phones, and I could guarantee you they were on the phones.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of people that were saying that they were disappointed that they traded down. Jalen Hood-Schifino was not going to be there.
Nope.
At like 21.
No chance in hell.
He wasn't going to be there. Houston had called up for trying to get Whitmore. But then I don't know if he's going to be there at 20. If you trade back with Brooklyn, one, I don't – like there was a lot of talk of Royce O'Neal, Dorian Finney-Smith, et cetera, and like then just kind of switching back. I don't think that you were going to be able to get those guys for just – 17 and like Beasley. I think they were going to probably try to look for another second round pick at least. And the Lakers didn't want that. They wanted two picks. And then,
well, like, you're very smart, by the way, in this draft.
In this draft, we said, I don't know how many times that you needed at least two picks, maybe even three. And then if you go back, like Indiana was not giving Buddy Hield up for a first round pick. And Beasley, it wasn't going to happen. They were asking
give us 26 as well. They weren't going
to
do that.
Go back to the negotiations for Russ. Like, they were demanding two first round picks
unprotected
yeah.
for for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield.
And
you were getting them. You just weren't.
And not only that, but they didn't even offer Buddy and Turner. That's speculation from reporters themselves. Those two were never on the training table ever.
No, they extended Miles because they like him, and Miles likes being in Indiana. Had he made comments about being in LA? Sure. LA is for a young athlete.
Respectfully,
is so much better.
I live in Manchester. Manchester is a huge city filled with 6 million people. If someone asked me, "Do you want to live in LA?" Fuck yeah, I do. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's just kind of like NBA or like Lakers fans thinking that they're going to. Give me all your good shit, and you can have my bad shit. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of times like that. But then on top of it, like, they're assuming that those guys are on the table when in fact, a lot of what you are assuming is not actually on the table. It is just like, did it make sense for trading like Royce O'Neal and 21 or 22 for 17 and Malik Beasley? Sure. It fits both the needs of both teams. Like,
Royce O'Neal or Dorian Finney-Smith just for a first round pick. It wasn't for a move in four or five spots.
Yeah, exactly.
And even if it did happen, because they took Dariq Whitehead at 22. Mm-hmm. 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 It's a very big possibility that if they moved up to 17, they take JHS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd say it's almost probable.
The Nets just traded last summer a first round pick for Royce O'Neal. You really think that they're going to not want that in return?
No. Yeah.
You know? He was very good for him.
He was very good for him.
And then Dorian Finney-Smith, they got him as part of the Kyrie package.
Yep.
Dorian Finney-Smith wasn't just salary filler. He's a good player. I'm not the biggest fan of him. But like, he's a good player, notwithstanding, like, he can shoot.
He's a really good defender.
Yeah. Like, and his contract is really good. 3 years, and I think he's only being paid like 11 a year, something like that. It's
10.7.
It's a steal. Like, yeah, you weren't going to get those guys for just a swap. Like, that's not what was going to happen. Like, it's this Laker exceptionalism of thinking that you're going to get the best end of the deal. And the Lakers had to pay what, $4.5 million to trade up from 47 to 40. They weren't going to. And then another thing, I'm sorry. Continue to look at, were there any player trades this
outside
draft?
Of the Bertans one? No.
Other than the Rashawn
Holmes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was Sacramento clearing lottery space or salary space because they're trying to go for someone bigger. And
which makes sense.
And then Dallas being smart in being able to get the guy that they want a couple picks later, getting salary off.
And now they have access to the non-taxpayer mid-level exception through making that.
Yeah.
And they got Rashawn Holmes by making that move as well. And 24. Exactly.
Yeah. So like Dallas was really smart in both of those trades because they were literally the only team that traded a actual NBA player away and then got one back. Like it wasn't happening yesterday. The draft was too good for people for teams to just like F it. Let's trade picks for players. That's just not what was going to happen on Thursday. Mm-hmm. This is a draft that you could potentially talk about for a very long time. And, I'm not saying it's going to become 83 with Jordan or 03 with LeBron, Wade, and Melo.
Or even 2012.
Or stuff like that. I'm not saying that's what this draft is going to be, but potentially it could be. This is a good draft. This is not the same draft that Anthony Bennett went number one.
But you have two guys who would have been number one picks in any draft.
Yeah, the fact that Scoot didn't go one is insane to me. But regardless of that, that was just MJ. He's my goat. But like, I just, dude, Yeah.
Did you see Mitch Kupchak's answer, by the way, when they asked him why they picked Miller? And yeah, the guy was just like,
he
was like stuttering, like he was testifying in front of Congress, you know. It was like he was all nervous,
because he didn't, because he, I could tell you, he wanted Scoot. He was the one that wanted Scoot. I guarantee you. So
this
like,
is the guy who drafted D'Angelo Russell over Jahlil Okafor when everyone's telling him to draft Okafor.
Yeah,
like this guy doesn't care. He'll pick who he thinks is the best player. But this was just very obviously, and I think the majority owner, I forget who it is. It's a minority owner of the Hawks who's coming in and taking over from Michael Jordan, right? The fact that they allowed Michael Jordan to make this pick is fucking insane to me.
That was bonkers. But like, anyway,
it would be like it would be like me taking over someone's teaching role, and then that person deciding what I'll be teaching those kids. That makes no sense.
And it's like you decide, like you deciding what you should be teaching those kids, even though you're the worst teacher in the history of the earth, kind of thing. You know what I mean? And the other thing also is the funny thing is also is that like the intel coming out is that Brandon Miller like interviewed really badly.
Yes.
And Scoot like interviewed really well. It's just that like Michael Jordan was just so dead set on thinking. Yeah,
I think for the most part MJ values college a lot more than because like
old school when it comes to like because like he's probably thinking like, oh, we already have LaMelo as well.
Yeah. So
and I wouldn't be shocked also if he's thinking that like because Scoot already has a shoe deal with Puma. Yeah. So there's no way that he was going to try to do that, dude. Like, I don't know Brandon Miller's shoe deal situation. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Nike. But, like, if it's Nike, then it makes all the sense in the world, right? If it's, if it's, you know, if it's anything else, then okay, that theory is shot. But I'm just saying, sorry, pun intended. So anyway. But anyway, like Scoot has to deal with Puma, right? But like all of that stuff, it just doesn't make any sense because like you know you could actually play Scoot with the Melo because it makes like their games could kind of
can they coexist? They would complement each other incredibly
Exactly. All right. Is this the first time, just a quick sidebar, just before we move on from other draft picks, is this the first time in history that four of the top five picks didn't play in college?
Next year probably be the second time that happens. If that's the case, because it's like G-League Ignite and Euro guys next year as well. It's a different time in the NBA.
I think what's going to start helping colleges is the NIL deals. Mm-hmm. I think we could also see players go to more, instead of spreading out, I think we could go see them go to the highest of high colleges, you know, like the best. So then like you can be developed or seen more, you know, and then not flounder at, you know, potentially somewhere else. So, all right. I think the
Euro guys are not going to come to America anymore because, like, look at Wembanyama, look at Koulibaly, look at guys previous like Doncic. Now Europe has enough trust with the NBA. Yeah, like they have enough of a trust in the NBA circles that there's no need to come to America anymore.
Yeah, there's no need. The one final thing I saw is a lot of Lakers accounts saying that Jalen Hood-Schifino is like a project.
Oh, they're just chatting shit.
Yeah. That is not true. Now I'm not going to say like he's completely NBA ready and he doesn't have any things that he doesn't need to work on. He does, but literally every prospect has things that they need to work on. Victor Wembanyama has shot 30% from or less. I think less than 30% from three. He's going to need to work on the outside shot. You know, he's also going to need to get stronger. Because he's 7'4", 7'5", and he weighs like, it looks like he weighs 120, you know? But like, it's the whole idea that he's a project and isn't going to play any, I don't think that's true at all. He most likely is going to be your backup point guard. And I bet you by the end of the year, he's getting, you know, three plus rotations a game. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
They don't bring Dennis back, because I would hate for to not have any playing time. You know what I mean? And it has nothing to do with him.
Especially with Max needing some minutes as well. Max, Christie needing some minutes as well.
Yeah, I think Max will play next year.
And that's my thing is that, like, if Dennis comes back next year, it's not because and Fino doesn't play. It's not because Fino can't play. It's because Ham loves fucking Dennis. It's just the way it is. Like,
if we're being honest, Dennis is and we've talked about it a lot. Like, as a backup point guard, Dennis is probably best of the best, right? Like,
One of them for sure.
It was him, and Tyus Jones was better than him, but Tyus Jones is now a starter in Washington.
Yeah.
So, like, Dennis is up there as like one of the best backup point guards in the league. It's not like he's like shit.
No, he's really good. And so, like, I get it. And also, like, he is athletic. He is long, and he is.
But also, Naz is right.
But definitely, Ham needs to back off.
This is his Avery Bradley, but
yeah,
Dennis is better.
But way better. Yes. let's go ahead and move on to Max Lewis, because we could go talk more roster later on. Max Lewis, as I said, the Lakers paid like, it was like $4.4 million or $4.5 million.
It was all the money that they could have traded, essentially.
Yeah, which I think NBA teams get like $6.5 million. Yeah, they get like $6.5 million to use in deals or to buy draft picks, and they had given $2 million to Orlando for trading Pat Bev for Mo Bamba. So they use the rest
of it. $2 million they've ever spent in their lives, by the way. Yes, I don't care how bad Bamba would be ever. It's still the best deal I've ever seen in the NBA. I hate Pat Beverly so much.
I'm right there. So moving rest of that money to move up to 40. Merge and I had Max Lewis as a top 25 guy. There was a period that he was mocked as high as 17 for the Lakers. I thought that was probably a little too high. He is still raw. He probably is going to need most of the year in the G League. But that said, he's an athletic 6'6", maybe 6'7" in shoes. Shooting guard, 2'3" guy who has a 7-foot wingspan and can defend well. At times, he needs some coaching up on that. His shot selection needs to get a little bit better, and his handles and decision-making also need to get a little bit better. Now, the people that want to come back and say, like, they could have gotten someone that was a little bit more ready. One, no, they couldn't. At that point, after him, there really wasn't anyone left that you could throw in there. Like City Cisco, I liked City Cisco is raw.
38. I think he went 38.
Did he go 38? I thought he went.
Yeah, he went before that.
Okay, my bad. I thought he had gone. No.
Well, Sissoko went 43.
That's right. Yeah, we want him to drop. My bad.
Yeah. So yeah, no.
Sissoko went 43. Yeah.
So like, there were a couple guys that we still liked. Trace Jackson Davis, for example, which fucking. The Warriors and the Bucks with those last two picks, because
we had planned out the two-way deals on the video call. We were like, all right, we're doing it here.
We knew for a fact that those two were going to be in LA. The connection with JHS and then LeBron's connection to Chris Livingston. Oh my god, and like, don't get me wrong, Livingston was bad at Kentucky last year. That dude is a ball of clay. Like, he is. There's so much to work with there. But anyways,
if you look at Kentucky's history, though, we have one of those guys who went undrafted in Kentucky and was a legit backup big in the NBA in Wenyen Gabriel. Like,
yep.
I mean, Vanderbilt went 49 in his draft. Like,
Murray went 14. Oh yeah, he went 7. Sorry, Booker who went 14. Yeah.
So,
but still, like Kentucky, John Calipari. Top five all-time recruiter.
Yeah.
Bottom five coach.
It's like Nick Saban and Calipari. Those are like the top two recruiters ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're just amazing recruiters. Nick Saban is an amazing coach.
Pete Carroll have up in that, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, Yeah, that was kind of like the one thing. If you wanted to try and do something like go for ultimate ball of clay, you could have done something like that. But like at 40, Max Lewis was right there.
Yes.
So like rest of the guys that were available, I can look back through who ended up going through after him. But like honestly, that was the best.
Like Seth that Lundy was the guy that we liked that he got drafted.
I think he went 47 or something like that to the 47. Hawks. So
the way I look at it is, I'm gonna ask all three of you this. Let's say we did trade down with Indiana to 26.
Yeah.
And we picked Max Lewis. Would you have been happy?
That was exactly where I thought he would go. So yeah, I would have been clamoring to get him at 26 for sure.
What about you, Naz?
Yeah, I had him in the top 30. So
like getting him at 40.
He's another guy that that I was surprised. Like Rob was on the radio yesterday, right? Like I don't know if you guys saw the audio clips that I tweeted out yesterday, but Rob was on the radio yesterday, and they were asking about like how did you guys get Max Lewis, right? Because you guys seem pretty high on him, and then like he's like, yeah, first of all, we spent the money, and then Rob was like giving a lot of praise to Jesse Buss for leading the
Jesse saw Max at Pepperdine and posted it on his Instagram stories at least two to three times. So we know he liked him.
Yeah, and like he was giving praise to Jesse, and he said that like Jesse was also the one who like leads the scouting department. He said that like the way it works with teams, especially with the Lakers, it's like they have tiers, right, for these players, and then they said that there's like a big drop off between like those picks and like all the way up to 41, right? Like those because those tiers are just like specifically on the draft ranges. So that's why they ended up making the decision for them to move up into the 40th slot. And paid that $4 million it was that they had to do just to move up seven slots because it was that important to them. They had two to three guys that they were looking at for that spot, and you know they were very happy that they were able to get Max Lewis. And that's what all happened. Right. Yeah.
Let me. So after Max Lewis, Amari Bailey went 41. Who's a guard.
Yeah.
And then with taking JHS didn't make a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. I know some people label them as a wing. When you're 6'3 with a 6'7 wingspan, you're a guard. Mm-hmm. Ryan Rupert, we liked. And if Max wasn't there, I would have happily taken him. Same thing with City Cisco. Gregory Jackson, I think, is going to be the one that a lot of people are going to turn to. Former number one recruit and everything like that. Mm-hmm. He's a good creator for himself. I think he's getting a lot more hype around that ability than what he showed. He wasn't efficient at it. He was very uncomfortable a lot of the time. He's not a good defender. There's a lot of issues with him. Now, he is only 18, and he could develop into something really good. And so, like, if that was the route that the Lakers had gone, I wouldn't have faulted them at all. I also don't think it's just like this holy shit, what are you doing type of thing. Like, I could have seen Gregory Jackson go, or GG Jackson as his nickname is. I could have seen him go in the top, you know, or in the first round. And I would have been like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. I just also don't know how much that he fits the Lakers, you know. He is a four in my opinion. I don't think he's a 4-3 like Rui can do. I think he's strictly a four. I know he's athletic and fluid, but I don't know if he really can play down. And you know, with going to the NBA, I think he'll become more efficient and everything like that. And I do think he should become a good player. He has the pedigree for it. I also, like I said, I'm not going to be like, holy shit, what were you doing? It's at this point, like, not that big of a deal, you know, because I could also see Max Lewis, who could be a 2-3 who showed some self-creation chops, who can who put guys in jail at Pepperdine as well, who could shoot, who could relocate, who could find guys. You know, they both are kind of like, they have some of the same issues, but like, I like Max Lewis just a little bit better.
Yeah, there are some on Twitter, there was a few people who were comparing him a little to B.I., and I can kind of see it, because he has kind of like the movement of Brandon.
Our buddy Raj said that like before B.I. figured it out, so yeah.
Yeah, he's very like shifty. He has a really, really solid handle for a guy who I don't think is going to be a lead ball handler anytime soon. But he has a very solid handle. He can really attack closeouts really well. And that shot is like, when he is open, it's money. The shot itself looks great. I think he shot 43% from three when he had catch and shoot threes at Pepperdine.
Yeah, 43, 44. It was really, really good.
Yeah. And, you know, he was just more than just like a shooter too. He handled it a lot for Pepperdine. He made some nice passes. He was really good in the pick and roll as well for someone that you wouldn't really expect to be that good in the pick and roll. They used him a lot off of curls around the free throw line. He was really good at grabbing those and driving and scoring right there. He used his length really well. And then defensively, on ball, he looked solid. He does get lost a little bit off the ball, it looks like. But he has the tools. He's athletic enough, 6'7", 7'1 wingspan. He has the tools to be a very good defender at the next level. So I'm absolutely just ecstatic that we were able to get him.
I also think that some of those off-ball things on offense and defense can improve when he doesn't have a 30% usage rate.
Yes. Yeah, that's the big thing. Like, it's really going to drop. I think when he's playing for the summer league team, it's going to be a lot around JHS and Max. Mm-hmm. And even then, he'll be like a third option guy there. So he'll be able to run around a lot off the ball. And in the G League, yeah, maybe he'll be a bit more of a lead ball handler and a creator. But like, even then, like,
I don't have a problem with him doing that though.
Yeah,
down there, you know, work obviously like have him work on the skills that you want him to do in the NBA. But like, if he's shown the ability to do stuff like that, let him do it from time to time. You know,
For sure. Him and DeMoy Hodge will be the backcourt there for the G League team. So there'll be a lot of them playmaking and ball handling. So yeah, I'm definitely okay with him attacking a lot more with the ball in his hands.
The one thing I'll say is, thank God they introduced the Rob Pelinka rule, the rookie minimum exception or whatever the fuck it's called, where they can sign guys without going into the mid-level exception for more than 2 years.
Oh man. I didn't realize that was in the CBA. That is one thing that is going to save the Lakers, because, oh my God, the fact that we're now
having to worry. It's going to suck. We'll have to pay Max Christie next year. It's going to suck.
Max, yeah, we're going to have to pay Max. Like, if Max Christie plays how I think he can,
he'll get the THT deal.
We're talking about a guy who is a top five recruit coming into Michigan State. Like,
All-American, yeah.
Yeah, like, dude was a recruit, you know, like,
and he looked not out of place when he played last year. That's the big thing. Nope. He looked like he was ready to go, and he was a way better defender than I thought he was going to be as well. Yeah. He was a very solid.
More playing time, like at the end of the season, because he definitely showed the chops for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the ball handling stuff. He showed a lot of that off screen sometimes. Like, it was just
our 1-2-3 of future of JHS, Max Christie, and Max Lewis, along with obviously like Austin in there and some other, you know, Rui and everything. But like, those three, you have a potential of like being a really good and really like, to other teams, annoying as hell team. Just because they're young, they're long, they're, you know, they're what?
I didn't realize Naz had merged into Nikola Jokic.
You know, going up, it was like, I'm gonna say the same thing too. I was like, you know, like the lineup 1-2-3 is like super long, right? And I'm like, I was pausing.
pause.
Yeah. Pause. Like, there's
pause. Very young, very long.
Yeah.
Very long. If you can, sign Max Lewis like to a 4-year deal.
At least span 6'10", right?
Yes. Yes.
At least, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be, like, good. Dude, I haven't been excited for this summer league in so long.
And they won the championship.
And if you watch, if you take a look at the timeline on Twitter, a lot of people are actually more excited about Max Lewis than Fino, because he just pops off the screen, like, athletically.
Yeah, and that was where I was going to say. He pops off because he's more athletic, you know, and he was embarrassing guys at a lower competition too. Like, Pepperdine isn't, you know, they'll play teams, you know, like a USC and and whatnot, but, like, mainly they're playing, yeah, like Gonzaga and Santa Clara and
one of Max Lewis's best games was against Gonzaga. I think he averaged over 20 in both games that they played Gonzaga.
Yeah. So that athleticism, you know, pops off the screens, especially when he's playing against, you know, guys like Brandon Podzimski, who went, in my opinion, higher than he should have. But I know a lot of draft Twitter really likes him, so maybe I'm just missing something on him. But yeah, no, those three are definitely going to be fun. Let's go ahead then and now move to the first UDFA that we saw signed by the Lakers for a 2A, and Colin Castleton.
You're on a call, and I literally said his name, and he appeared essentially on the timeline.
When I woke up to see that Castleton A hadn't got drafted, and B he signed a 2-way immediately with the Lakers, I was like, how the fuck did this guy not get drafted? It made no sense to me.
You know what's the funniest thing? AR's agent,
You know what's the funniest thing? Like, also is that, like, when you see on Twitter, like, you're just aggregating things that, like, scouts who have been studying these guys, like, you know, for like months and years or whatever, right? And you're just re-aggregating what they say, and then guys who on, like, some random person on Twitter who you've never seen will comment on, like, oh, this guy sucks or whatever. He, like, who has not even watched a single minute of film. That thing, it's funny at how stupid people actually are regarding that. You know what I mean? You can't, you know, like, you don't have a foundation to base your opinion on. You just don't. It's just, you know, why are you talking? It makes no sense to me.
Getting into the player of Colin Castleton, he's really interesting. He is a big human being, 6'11" with a 7'3" wingspan, I believe. Yeah. And then he actually was not, I forgot, he was not invited to the NBA combine. He was probably the highest rated player that was not invited. But then, like, the G League or whatever racism had some their type. There's some type of camp as well, and he showed out there. Castleton isn't a guy who's going to be able to stretch the floor much. He didn't even attempt a three-point his first 2 years at Michigan, and then when he transferred to Florida, I don't even know if he attempted any until, like, that final year. But he can handle the ball some. You can go watch some games where he was getting around guys surprisingly well. He was handling the ball in transition. I am not saying he is going to be this person, but also we saw something like that in, like, Brooke Lopez when Brooke was at Stanford. Again, I am not saying he's going to be Brooke Lopez.
Are you saying he's going to be Brooke Lopez?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Thank you, Nas. But Brooke,
a poor man's Brooke, though. If he's a poor man's Brooke Lopez, as a backup big, you are
ecstatic. But, like, Brooke did stuff like that at Stanford too. Like, he could handle the ball. He could go around some guys. He showed some post-up skills, which Colin Castleton did. He didn't really shoot the ball deep much, if at all. And then, like,
Brooke
the
just
last
started randomly
year
doing
or
it
two,
in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he only did it like the last year or two that he was in Brooklyn. Even it wasn't even like much before then. It was just,
it wasn't even
the
last 2 years. It was literally the stretch before he got traded to LA.
Yeah, and then he got dealt, and then now he's become one of one of the best big men shooter in the game. And again, I'm not saying like he's going to turn into something like that. It is just something like the shot doesn't look bad, you know? So with Gent, with some practice at it, it wouldn't surprise me if you could at least have him in the corner.
Mm-hmm. The other thing also is that he shoots, like, I think 70, if I'm not mistaken, like I think 79% from the free throw line, right?
Or yeah, he's a good shooter from the line, yeah.
And that bodes well for him to being able to stretch out his range from to being able to actually shoot threes eventually down the line too. Yeah, like Sam and Spin, they both like hit his prospects of being able to shoot later on, like further. And they already said that like he could handle the ball and could also pass, and he could play some post too. So yeah, like the only two knocks I see on about him are all like just the fact that he's 24 and he has a 7'3" wingspan. You know, like
he's 23. He turned 23 in May, so he is older.
23,
but yeah,
23, yeah. And he has a 7'3" wingspan, which is not great for a center. But
he does have a standing reach, I believe, of over. Yeah, it's 9'2", which is pretty good. That is pretty good. So it's not he's not incredibly long width wise, but like being able to go for. Yes, I know. We are all middle school students here now.
I'm not. I'm a grown ass teacher here, bro.
But you know, being able to stay vertical is something that he is also good at. He did have like three blocks a game this final year. Yeah. It was like a 9+ block percentage rate, which is good. He shot this year, he only shot 73% from the line, but
his first five years at college, he shot 73%, but that's mm-hmm. including his first year at college where he shot 33% from the free throw line. Obviously incredibly limited that first year, but that average is including that.
Yeah, the second year he played, it said 25 games, but he did not play many minutes. 83% from the line, so with not very many minutes, I'm not going to consider that one much. But 78% when he got to Florida, his first year, and then 70.3, and then 72.9. So like, let's say he's about 75%. That's good, you know.
Yeah, and for that's really good.
Yeah, and you could imagine at least a deep mid-range shot.
Yeah.
Which stretches the floor enough.
And another thing also too, he has the same agent as Austin Reeves, and he was supposed to be drafted by some teams in the second round. And they did the same thing as they did with Austin Reeves, where it's like these teams wanted to draft him and they said no, just stay away, right? Let him hit free agency. Under the free agency, and so he did, and that's how he got to the Lakers, because there's a fit. Not only is did they want to go to the Lakers just because, you know, because they're the Lakers, right? And plus Austin has been there, they also wanted to go there because there's an absolute fit and need for him to go there. So
he's on a two-way, but it wouldn't shock me if he ended up earning a roster spot.
The Lakers
at this point have Mo Bamba, obviously AD, and
That's it.
Because Gabriel's a free agent.
Yeah, Gabriel's a free agent. Tristan Thompson is banging a Kardashian.
Good for him, man. Good for him.
I wouldn't mind Tristan. To be 100% honest, I wouldn't mind Tristan being back for a year. Just make him non-guaranteed. You know, last.
He seems like a good presence. He seems like a good guy to have in the locker room.
He would also, I think, would be a good, decent guy to have kind of mentor Colin as well.
Oh, yeah. So, like 100%, because everything you hear about Tristan is that he's just a really good dude. Yeah. And having guys like that in the locer room is just great.
Other than
cheating on his baby mama, multiple times.
But that's fine.
Listen, right? If that's the worst thing you have, how many guys have done that? How many women have done that? Yeah. Like,
well, it's not even that. It's a Kardashian. It doesn't count, you know.
Oh my god!
Also, that too. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And not only is it a Kardashian, but it's also who is it again?
Oh,
Chloe,
the power forward of the Kardashian family.
Yeah, the power forward, the Kardashian family, like Miss smells like earring backs. No, no.
Oh yeah, shout out to Lamar. I forgot about that one.
So very quickly on Castleton before we go off the rails completely. For whatever reason, the TV station that has college basketball on here in England essentially just show Florida games constantly. So I have no idea why. I literally cannot think of a reason. Like, I've seen Florida more than I've seen like Duke and Kentucky and UConn and Michigan.
A lot of Castleton and Fudge.
I actually did. I can't remember Fudge much, but Castleton, really good. Like, I think he's got a really good awareness around him. I love his feel when he's handling the ball. I think in the post, he's useful. And I think defensively, he has instincts that you can definitely work on. So,
yeah, I was happy with the pick. I think he could be a rotation guy. Like, quickly,
if we picked up 47 and guys were off the board,
and I
wouldn't have hated it.
Yeah,
he wasn't even a pick. He was an undrafted signing.
A UDFA.
You could potentially get another rotation player with some potential from the same agent.
Yeah, it's really like, honestly, like the draft is like one of my favorite parts about like the Lakers season, to be honest with you, because they hardly ever missed. The only time they ever like missed to me was like 2018.
You know? Yeah, the Mo Wagner.
But then they were going to pick Spellman anyway.
Both that was like the one time they missed.
Yeah, but to me, speed like turned it up last year. With the Hornets, and I still believe in Bonga as a long term project. You know, like that. That's just to me. Like
Bonga's in Europe, but yeah, no, still, I think he could do something over there.
But Bonga's what? Still like 22, 23.
He's still young.
Let him develop like Jana Musa or however you say his first name, and then maybe. Thank you. Let I know Lakers fans really liked him when he was drafted. I mean,
best player in Europe.
Yeah, let him come to the Lakers on a good deal. Talk to him, Alan. Talk to him.
Well, I mean, it will involve LeBron breaking his European player streak.
But
apparently he seems to like ex-Yugoslavian guys. So that might work in our favor. Yeah. I'd expect him to get NBA interest unless Real Madrid pay the fuck out of him, which is incredibly possible based on the season he had.
Yeah.
You know, Real Madrid are a very, very, very strong organization who can pay guys a lot of money, but also at the same time,
was that Barcelona that
Mirotić went and got an absolute bag?
Yeah, he got like 15 mil or something like that, like a year,
unofficially.
And Nas had to leave, take care of his baby.
But Musa should absolutely be back in the NBA this year, in my opinion.
I hope that.
From what I know, he feels like he has unfinished business in the NBA.
Good. He would definitely. He's just saying.
But what do I know?
We'll see.
We're gonna be done soon anyway.
Yeah. No, for sure. All right. Then we had
before we touch on the other two UDFAs. Or I think there was a third one today. Can we talk about Whitmore? Just because. Oh, Nas is back.
Yeah, we didn't talk much about Whitmore. The one thing I want to say before, I don't know what Alan's point is, and it might be Alan's point. I'm sorry if I steal this. There was a lot of people wanting Whitmore. We even really liked Whitmore.
Oh, I wanted him.
Yeah, we had talked about it. When you interview as poorly as he did, according to pretty much every report, that's very questionable. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, Brandon Miller, blah, blah, blah. Brandon Miller, in my opinion, was the better prospect. Also, like, less health issues. His concerns are his accessory to murder charges or whatever happened, which is still obviously bad. But when you screw up literally every interview in a situation that you are coached to not F these up, and you F up every interview, it's kind of a problem. Alan, I'm sorry if I stole your point.
Oh, no, you're fine. Like, I did digging to try and find out why Whitmore fell the way he did. And some of the verdicts I got back from people who I really, really trust were he is the worst interview teams have ever had. Now, when you think about the people who are involved in interviews and how long they've been doing this, that's insane. Yeah, there were health issues, and but the health issues weren't the be-all and end-all. And the workouts, apparently, for some teams, were so bad that they took him off the board, like, completely.
Nas, you're good.
Yeah, also, another thing is, like, depending on which team you ask, it's either they say that his knee is, like, completely cooked, or that it's gonna give him problems down the road, like, where it's, like, it's like Brandon Roy knee or something like that. So, you know, if you add in all of those factors, that all those factors, plus, like, he's supposed to be coming into, like, as a lottery pick. I understand that why he wasn't picked. I get it. You know.
Yeah. The talent was there, but with all the questions, I totally understand not being up for that. All right. I know some people have timeline issues, so let's go ahead and try and get through some of these. Des Moines Hodge from Missouri, 6'4", shot like 40%+ from three on 7 attempts a game.
Two and a half steals.
Does the dirty work on defense. He had one 3-point shot. I don't remember if it was in the tourney or the regular season where, like, they threw it inbounds from across the court. He catches it on, like, right behind the 3-point line and in between the out of bounds and tosses it up last second and it goes in. It was an insane shot. Nas has compared him to Jody Meeks. I like that
comp. With defense.
If he can shoot well, as well as he did and just be a good defender, you're looking at, you know, a secondary backup guy, you know, like your third point guard on a rotation, which I think is still has value. Does anyone else want to provide input on Hodge? Nope.
I've not watched enough of him.
Gotcha.
That's going to be my homework over the next 7 to 10 Same. Days. Or so.
Yeah. I'm going to
London next week. So on the train, I've already downloaded Hodge video to watch, as nice. Sad as that sounds, but that's what I'm doing.
All I gotta say is that Joey Buss has been doing work. We've been praising Jesse a lot, which, you know, which is obviously, like, well deserved, but also, like, Joey Buss, who I've seen literally with my own eyes, like, during SBL games, right? Like, watching over the product that he puts out there, like, that guy works too. And he deserves a lot of praise for that stuff. Like, he was instrumental in getting Caruso here. Like, all those guys that we get from the SBL, right? Like, whether it's Gary Payton Jr. or Caruso or whoever, like, a lot of them ended up in the NBA. Caruso's like a guy. If you look at his resume, it should be things that, like, no undrafted player should be able to be accomplished, right? 2020 world champion, 2023 first team all defense. So, like, he, like, undrafted, right? Yeah. I just want to give props to Joey, and it's just like I said before, the draft time is one of my favorite times watching the Lakers do what they do, because you know more often than not that it's going to be really good.
Definitely.
It's solid, like, really, really good.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Then the next guy was Alex Fudge from Florida. I haven't gotten to watch much of him at all.
Athlete. Jumper.
Athlete. Serious athlete.
And athlete. Yes. A former 50, top 50 recruits. I believe it was something like 40-something. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So, athlete. good lottery ticket type guy.
Four in the NBA, the dude, he can block shots at the rim a little bit. He had a few dunks on top of dude.
With three two ways now, perfect guy to take a lottery ticket on.
Definitely. Yeah. And then the final one for the Exhibit 10 was the bow from TCU. Just because that happened right before we started to record.
Quick thing. I just want to go off on what Alan said. We have three two ways now, but the thing is that Cole Swider still has one of them. And the other two is going to be with Hodge and also with Castleton. Fudge would be an exhibit. He's exhibit 10, and he will likely be on the SBL. However, that being said, I don't know if Cole will stick around as the two way. I just don't see it. You know what I mean? I just don't see him being athletic enough.
He has to be a heater from behind the line. He needs to make like a 40% clip or something.
I could see Castleton earn a regular deal very quickly, especially if he looks good in summer league.
Yeah,
and then in training camp, he looks better than a backup guys. I could see him absolutely.
Then you can swoop up a Fudge or something like that if he shows out or something. Yeah.
And I believe all five of, including Bo, I think all five were top 100 guys on ESPN, and all of them except Fudge were top 80 plus. I think Bo was 84 or something like that on Vecini's board. Fudge, I don't think was that far off, but just because of how he's only an athlete. That's it. All right. Nas, you gotta go, or you're just saying a point?
No, I gotta go.
Okay. All right. Gotta go. Thank you for joining, Nas. And that'll kind of wrap us up for everyone else, I think. Well, once we've watched more,
we'll free agency probably next pod as well.
Free agency, we'll talk about possible trades, etc. But I think that's it. Alan, thank you for joining us with your icicle or whatever you called it.
Ice lolly.
Ice lolly. Thank you. I'm now only ever going to call a lollipop an ice lolly, though, from now on. Doesn't matter.
We invented the language. So
it's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, us Americans just fuck everything up. And then merch.
You said it, not me.
I'm the American. It's fine. And then Merge has got a Angels and Rockies game to go to. So
yes.
Yeah. I think that's it. You guys have anything that you want to end with?
Nope.
Nope. Cool. Nope. That's it. Thank you all for joining. We went a little bit longer than I thought, but
Russell Westbrook.
Yes. And that's it. Thank you all for listening. Go rate and review. And we love you. Bye.
Peace.